gentlemen, sit it right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a road.
Show, folks, that's right. You'll see, you got the American Adversaries. That's right. It is drive time, prime time on AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, and I am coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please don't forget, for the very best in general and health center dentistry, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. He'll take good care of you over there. And don't forget to ask him about his great book, Mercury Free. All right, we got a big show lined up for you tonight as we come to you live. You know how this works if you want to be a part of the show, especially if you want to have something to say about what old Jeb Bush is coming out speech this afternoon. If you got some comments about that, love to hear them at 407-774-8255. Lucas Paris has us up on the Periscope.
Hey, hey.
So you will be able to go to our channel on YouTube. That's American Adversaries TV, and see us up there shortly. There's a segment delay, so when this segment's over, it goes up. But it's up there permanently, so you can watch it at your convenience. If you're driving home right now in this sweltering heat, it's nasty out there.
93 degrees.
Yeah, heat index over 100, so just be careful if you're anywhere outside. This is the part of the day where it just gets stifling. Not that it wasn't earlier, but it really is out there now. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge, so we are in good hands as we depart this evening on our two-hour live tour. All right, Wallace Brushweiler is also going to join us later on in the show. Now, Wallace and Carl Jackson, yeah, that's our man. You know him. Carl Jackson, live every Saturday morning at 8. He and Wallace are going to be speaking tomorrow night at the Eastmont Civic Center. I hope you folks can head over there and see them. The doors open at 6:30, so you can listen to us as you're driving over there. And then the presentations start at 7 o'clock. It is free, and you're all invited to come over there for that. So Wallace will give you a little preview of that. And last night, Carl gave us just a little snippet, a little taste of what he's going to talk about tomorrow night. If you did not catch last night's show, we're pretty proud of it. We had a pretty good old time and covered a lot of things. But if you want to hear that show, you can go to our webpage, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and then go to our archive, and you'll be able to hear that after tonight's show, of course. Yeah, we talked about a lot of things. We talked about Hillary and her speech, her rollout the other day, and I revealed to the world how I think that Hillary's strategy is actually pretty clever. I think it actually comes from Bill Clinton. I don't think it's Hillary's strategy. I think Bill Clinton has come up with this. He's mapped out this campaign. I believe he has it mapped out right through November 2016, and he is going to be methodical all along the way. Don't expect any more than what you've seen so far. It's going to be the campaign is interestingly enough, the way I phrased it last night, it's going to be all about Hillary, but then again, it's going to be not at all about Hillary. How can that be? Well, it's going to be all about Hillary being the champion of the po-folk. You know, she's the fighter. She's the one you can't keep down. She's the one who's going to be up there fighting for you. She's going to be the one taking all the arrows and all the bullets and all the critiques. She'll be the one who'll be the happy warrior, to steal a phrase from Michael Gallagher. But it's not at all going to be about the emails. It's not at all going to be about Benghazi. It's not at all going to be about the server. It's not at all going to be about any of the things, of course, that we want it to be about. And just get used to it. That is the way it is going to be, and I think it's actually a smart strategy, because that's the only way she'll be elected president, is to get people to see her as their champion so that they won't care.
And just sweep everything else under the rug.
Well, it's not so much even that. It's that... That's what they expect poor old Hillary to have to go through to be their champion, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You see, all of this is concocted Republican, GOP, right-wing, conservative cabal stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Honestly,
and
right?
And so poor old Hillary, but she's not going to be kept down. She's going to be up. Now, whether it will be enough to win the election, I don't know, but it is the only strategy that they can deploy because they can't make it about her record. Her record is disastrous. She has not accomplished anything. The only decision she has made, she's either turned out to reverse them, or of course what difference did it make, right? So she can't go down that road, but it's still going to be all about her being the champion, the fighter, and this and that. Well, speaking of the champions, let's go Jeb. Let's go Jeb. Jeb Bush rolled out his campaign this afternoon to a raucous and rowdy crowd, doing a lot of stomping and stamping and chanting, and it sounded all the world like a real honest-to-God campaign speech, stump speech, and, you know, in comparison at least to Hillary Clinton and the way she just drolls on and is sort of this cadence that'll put you to sleep. This was an excellent speech, I will say that. It is still Jeb Bush, I will say that too.
But you got to give him marks for passion.
Well, at least he came out today and acted a little bit like he wants it. Last night I was calling him the oh shucks candidate, you know, just kind of about, you know, nodding his head down and, you know, kind of slouching around, oh shucks. But today he actually, you know, kind of stood there and acted like a presidential candidate should act. And he bragged on his record here in Florida, and then he said all the right words, at least when it comes to the Middle East and the task that we face over there, and the task that we face putting this economy back on track. He didn't really lay out any big ideas, but said we need some big ideas, and that's, of course, what we've been saying around here. Now, we've laid out some big ideas. You know, there's two things you could do immediately that would set this economy firmly in the right direction and on a glide path that would only accelerate over a short period of time. Dramatically lower the corporate income tax. Then you don't have to worry about all these free trade deals, you see? You see, because all those countries will want to come here to do business if we lower dramatically the corporate income tax. Can leave the personal income taxes alone. Lower that corporate income tax, and shazam, you will see lots of jobs sprouting up everywhere. Second thing, drill, baby, drill. Drill, baby, drill. And, of course, that includes building pipelines and all the infrastructure that would go along with that. Just those two things. Bold ideas, but just those two things would get this economy turned around in a stone-cold New York instant. I'm here to tell you. But anyway, Jeb Bush looked good today. He certainly had, I believe, the most raucous crowd of any of the people who have come out, possibly with the exception of Ted Cruz. But it was staged well. It was at one of my alma maters. I did attend Miami-Dade Southwest Homestead campus there for a little while back in the late 70s. He introduced the family over again. He brought Mama Bear up on stage. You know, that's always a good move,
mm-hmm.
except maybe when it's Barbara Bush. But certainly she does still have a lot of admirers, and rightfully so. By the way, if you ever saw a picture of her when she was a young woman, she was a looker now, you know. I'm not saying anything about that.
I understand, Chris. I know where you're going with this, all right?
So anyways, it's now going to be hot and heavy. The campaign is really getting up into high gear. It is going to be exciting. The good news for the Republicans is they got a lot of quality candidates in the mix. The bad news for the Republicans is they got a lot of quality candidates in the mix, because a lot of these good candidates are going to end up sort of canceling one another out, stealing each other's thunder, stealing each other's donors, so to speak. And there's going to be old Jeb right there with his pockets just overflowing with money.
To use a pro wrestling analogy, it is going to be an elimination chamber.
It is.
They're going to be fighting each other and pinning each other until only the best is left.
Yeah.
You know?
But I'll guarantee you there's some unholy alliances already been struck out there between. I'm guaranteeing you the Bush campaign is working with some of these other candidates. I don't know who, but he's working with some of these other candidates to try to nullify, if you will, the Cruz-Rubio effect, the Walker effect.
Mm-hmm.
So even if he's not, that's going to be the net result. So it will be a matter of who can keep up with Jeb. That's what we're going to see, is who can keep up with Jeb, because he has the deep pockets. He has the ability.
That's a legacy.
Well, not only that, but you know, I mean, he does have certainly a good record here in Florida. Of, you know, he did lower taxes here. He did give a school choice here. He did stand up for Terry Schiavo over there. And so, but in the meantime, it's the in the meantime stuff that has a lot of Republicans concerned.
I hear you.
And he in a way addressed the Common Core today. He said we need to have high standards, but in no way should the federal government be involved in that. And so that is at least some sort of a nod to the critics on the Common Core. And as far as immigration goes, he said we would have a comprehensive package done legislatively, not by executive action, although he did threaten to use some executive action in some instances. So it was, as I said, it was at least a speech befitting the occasion. So we'll see if he can keep it up. We'll see if he gets any kind of bumps in the polls. As I said, if there are any of you out there who got that thrill up your leg like old Chris Matthews, or got a cold chill down your spine, I'd love to hear it. But as I said, Abe Katzman's going to join us here shortly, and we'll see if he saw the speech, what he thinks about what. They think over there, he thinks in particular, and what they think in general in Israel, excuse me, about a possible Bush presidency. We know they're not at all thrilled about a possible Hillary presidency.
I don't know many people who are.
No, I don't. And by the way, the logo, you know, Jeb's taken some arrows from the left, and I guess some on the right wing too, saying, his logo just says Jeb. It doesn't say Bush. Well, Jeb, it kind of is Bush, because Jeb is not his first name, of course. Jeb is his initials. It's his nickname. His real name is John Ellis Bush. So Jeb actually does incorporate the Bush name in it, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Jeb is John Ellis Bush. We are the American adversaries. You are in the right place, so please don't go away.
Folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
And away we go. That's right. There you go. All right. Christopher Hart here. That's Lucas Paris. He has us up on the Periscope. You can see it on YouTube. Our channel is American Adversaries TV. 407-774-8255 is the number. We got another champion on the line with us. Of course, he's our man, Abe Katzman. He's the champion. He is the fighter for the little man, for the common man. He is the man who comes to us weekly for live from Jerusalem. Abe, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you being on the show today. First of all, did you see Hillary's speech Saturday and Jeb's speech today, and any thoughts on either one of them?
Well, I saw Hillary's very poor presentation. I mean, I don't know who, it's bad enough that she didn't say anything much, but the way she said it it probably would have been better to just post the speech somewhere. I thought she did, I mean, I guess it was choreographed very nicely, but she just is not a good speaker.
No, and she's not.
The more people see of her, the more trouble she's going to be in.
Now, well, at least now we know why she had the videotape version the first time around, and why she's been seen so little in public, so to speak, since then. You know, the more she speaks, the less people like her. But you know, it's not a surprise to me, though, that she's trying.
I heard some of Bush's speech.
Okay.
He sounded pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, he did, and he hit the right buttons on most of the points that he made. He had, of course, a rowdy crowd, and he also said he made a promise to Israel that Israel would once again have no better friend than the United States. How do people in Israel generally feel about the Bushes in general, and about him in particular?
There's a little bit of a mixed track record in terms of the Bushes. There was some disappointment with George H.W. Bush, with Bush 41, Especially his Secretary of State was James Baker.
Right.
And Baker was considered to be very antagonistic toward Israel. Now, the George W. Bush was considered to be a very good friend, and really people in Israel got the sense that he understood where Israel was, what it had to deal with. One of the things that he did, he took a very strong, what I thought was a very moral stance toward Israel, especially with the Palestinians, whereas Bill Clinton had Yasser Arafat running in and out of the White House. President Bush basically said, no way, and shut him out completely. So that was appreciated. And now with Jeb, I think the belief is that he would be pretty good, but there are people who are a little uncomfortable because James Baker apparently has been one of his advisors. And I think people here, that's a name that makes people cower, that makes people really think twice. And I think he would, I'm not here to staff his, to give him advice on staffing his campaign, but from the standpoint of getting support from Israel, he would do well to keep James Baker far away.
Well, not only from the standpoint of Israel, but I would think from the standpoint of his campaign here in the United States, that here he is trying to more or less distance himself from the Bush legacy. He is his own man, you know, he's not his brother and all this other business. And yet he turns around and he's palling around with all the same crowd. You would think that he might look for some fresh blood, at least.
I think he'd look for some. On the other hand, it's not Baker so much, but other people from W's administration. That was the last Republican administration. You had people in there for 8 years. They're people with experience. So that's where you go. I understand that, but I think it depends very much on who is going to be in the driver's seat in terms of making policy, and who, especially from Israel's standpoint, I think they'd be happy if it were anybody except James Baker.
Yeah. Okay. Understood. Good point. Abe, last week in Washington, D.C., President Obama lost a big vote due to his own party turning on him. And it had to do with this trade deal, multi-nation trade deal, mostly in the Pacific Rim, but there would also be a Eurozone trade deal. And I heard some interesting analysis over the weekend that said if this was more or less a threat to Democrats out there. And I love it. Here you got Republicans threatening Democrats that they're going to turn this guy into a lame duck president as though that would be a bad thing. Come on now. But saying that if this goes down, that this will weaken the president's position when it comes to negotiating with Iran. And I thought, well, how can it get any weaker? I mean, he's basically giving them everything they want. But do you think that there's any truth to that?
I heard that. I don't understand what the connection is. Maybe I'm missing something, but it doesn't seem to me that Iran cares all that much what kind of trade agreement the U.S. makes with the Pacific Rim. So I don't see the connection. I think that maybe marginally there might be some difference in just how much weight President Obama carries, how much authority he wields just because he seems to be in command or if he doesn't seem to be in command. But I just don't really see it.
Yeah. Well, the latest out of Tehran or out of the negotiations, it seems to be that Iran will allow inspections, only not in the places where they don't want the inspectors to go, more or less. Is that the way you read it?
That's what it's looking like. We'll see if they make any kind of compromise. But right now, it doesn't sound like it. They're taking a position that no foreigners are going to come into these special military installations. They're not going to open up all of their secrets to any foreign powers. And that's it. We'll see if who blinks. I have a feeling it may be the Americans.
Unfortunately so. The Iranians, of course, their incentive is just to keep holding out because, you know, the tougher they make the negotiations, the more they seem to get out of it.
Yeah, I think that that's true. And also, as we've discussed before, it's to their advantage to have all this stuff drag out. I wouldn't be at all surprised, again, if this June 30th deadline also gets blown and they end up, you know, again, the deadline isn't exactly a deadline. A red line isn't a red line. These lines are not the strong suit of this administration.
Yeah, no, they could take a lesson from Reagan when he walked out on the Russians and just left them hanging. You know, sometimes you just turn and walk away, but not this administration. Hey, Abe, we got to take a break, so please stay with us, and we'll talk on the other side. And Abe Katzman is our guest, and, of course, he joins. He's not a guest. He's actually a member of the American Adversaries Army Task Force, where it's our task to force the truth upon the world and then have the world deal with it as it may. So please stay with us. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. There's a war report, actually a couple of war reports out this week having to do with the Gaza conflict, and you'll probably be hearing a lot more about that. But the first thing is, we got to take this break. So please don't go away. When we come back, we'll still have Abe Katzman. You can find his work. He's a great columnist at abekatzman.com. And we'll be right back.
This is Sunny, the California girl, and I've been around a lot of big, hunky, sexy, tough men. I like men like that, but only when they're brainy, like the American adversaries. These guys are sexy and smart.
And so is Abe Katzman, that's for sure. And we got him on the line right now, live from Jerusalem. You are listening to the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer, as we come to you live here from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. I'm Christopher Hart, got Abe on the line. If you'd like to join the conversation, 407-774-8255 is the number. Abe, before we get to those war reports, I want to talk about those. Right after you were on the show last week, this story broke in the media over here, and they made a big deal of it for a day or two, but it seems to have sort of faded away, at least for now, about this virus that existed in the hotel computers. Perhaps you can explain better than I can. The hotel computers where the Iranian negotiations were going on, evidently there was some sort of virus that was suspected was the product of Israeli intelligence. I'm sure the story was big over there, was it not?
The story was big over here. The story was that there was, as you said, there was this virus that apparently had taken over the computer systems of the hotels where the talks were taking place. There was some security firm that pointed its finger at Israel. Israel denied it. But with these types of things, there's really no way to know who's telling the truth, who might even be planting a false story. When you get into these, this spy versus spy type stuff, there's just no way to know what the truth is.
And wasn't this agency, the people who discovered this, wasn't it a Russian cybersecurity firm or something like that?
Yes, it was.
So that right there should cause someone a little bit of doubt anyway. And, you know, I'm the last person. I mean, these people around here will tell you I'm as illiterate as it comes when it comes to computers and how they work and all that. But it seems to me that a clever person could take a computer, say, somewhere in Russia and make it look like a virus came from Israel or somewhere. Couldn't they do something like that? Is that beyond the realm of possibility?
Well, I'm no expert on this stuff, but if they were able to hack all of the between the personnel files of the U.S. government,
yeah,
and everything that that Snowden had downloaded, I don't think it would be all that hard for them to fake some sort of virus attack. But again, that's really out of my realm.
Yeah, like you say, when you get in that spy versus spy world, you really don't know which way is up or down, for that matter. But let's imagine for a moment that Israel did feel the need to somehow try to eavesdrop, if it will, on these negotiations. Wouldn't that be as much a testimony as the lack of trust that exists now between Israel and the United States as anything else, if it were the case?
If it were the case, it would indicate that Israel is not confident that the United States is sharing all the information about, but the U.S. is not being totally straight
right.
with Israel about what's going on at these talks.
Right.
Now, all along, Prime Minister Netanyahu had made statements along the lines that Israel knows exactly what's going on at the talks. I think that either Kerry or Obama had made comments along saying that Israel might have been misinformed, that they were panicking over things that they didn't understand. So Israel said, we know exactly what's going on. Now, whether they know that because they've been told by other parties there, whether they know it because they've been bugging the hotel, I don't know. I'd kind of like to think that they successfully, it's kind of cool if they took over the computer system and bugged the hotel that way.
I think it's awesome if they did that, and only rightfully so. I mean, it is, as you've said many times on the show, this is an existential problem for Israel. This is not, a recession or a depression and we'll somehow make our way through it. Iran gets a bomb. It's a whole new ball game for Israel over there. It is a whole new world, and you just cannot take any chances. And not saying that they did, but if they did, hats off to them. The war reports. The UN is getting ready to come out with a war report, as they call it. At least that's what they're calling it in the media over here, having to do with the conflict last year, which started last July in the Gaza Strip, of course, after Hamas had been launching hundreds of rockets into Israel. Finally, Israel, got tired of it and did something about it. But evidently, Israel just released your own report on the incidents. Can you tell us what was in that we might not find in the UN report?
Yeah, well, the UN report, the UN Human Rights Council, is going to issue a report probably later this week. And the feeling in Israel is that the UN is hardly the institution that's going to give Israel a fair shake. There was the kind of infamous Goldstone report that you might remember from a few years ago from a previous war with Gaza,
right?
That slammed Israel, that it was so bad that Goldstone himself, who was tasked with putting together the commission to write the report, he even disavowed it. So,
and that was after a similar conflict back in like 2008 or 2009, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So to preempt it, to preempt the United Nations report this time, both Israel issued a report, and there was also a report that was issued by a multinational group of senior military officers, including the former chiefs of staff of Germany, Italy, and Spain, and the former commander of British forces in Afghanistan.
Wow.
So that's really there. Yeah. And they were, they came out, their conclusions were that Israel had bent over backwards to avoid civilian casualties, often at the cost of endangering the lives of Israeli civilians and soldiers. But they said that the measures that Israel took to reduce the suffering of the civilian population in Gaza was far in excess of the requirements of the Geneva Conventions or any other laws of war.
And I believe you described those to us last year as they were happening. Israel was dropping dummy bombs, I guess, sort of, get ready. The real thing's coming. They had dropping leaflets, even calling people on the telephone.
Calling people on their telephones. That's right. and sending text messages to them, to the people in the buildings that they were going to hit.
You know, in a more go ahead, Abe. Finish your thought, please.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, in a more perfect world, the UN would be issuing a scathing report against the Palestinians and Hamas in particular for using innocent civilians as human shields, trying to get them killed so that they could have their little piece of paper, their little report that they could go waving around in people's faces.
Yeah, that's that is about as cynical as Hamas has been. I mean, they were using human shields. They were launching rockets from hospitals, from mosques, from schools, and just daring Israel to hit them back in those places. Of course, they were launching rockets aimed at the Israeli civilian population. They tried various terror attacks by having people dress up in Israeli military uniforms. These are all things that are that violate all the norms of civilized war.
And violations of the Geneva Convention.
Violation of the Geneva Convention.
Absolutely, you know, and here's the UN going to, you know, overlook all of that. Because, of course, as you said earlier, you know, they have no good record when it comes to Israel. And of course, now with the Iranian and other influences growing in the UN, that problem is only going to grow along with it, I'm afraid. But, Abe, if I just have a couple minutes left here, let's talk culture for a minute. I saw a story in the paper where I guess there was a gay pride parade in Tel Aviv or something to that effect last week. Is Israel going through sort of the same culture shock as the United States? And what's the story about Jenner? How's that playing over there?
Jenner, they haven't paid much attention to. I don't think too many people know who he is. He wasn't an Israeli athletic hero.
Right.
So,
right.
But in terms of the gay pride parade, this has been going on for a while. Tel Aviv is prides itself, no pun intended, as being an extremely gay friendly city.
Yeah.
And it's always sort of been the division that the people who are more religious and conservative hang out in Jerusalem, and people who are a little bit more out there live in Tel Aviv. So Tel Aviv has had for I don't know how many years they've been doing this this parade, but they claim over 100,000 people were at the parade.
Wow.
Yeah. So
well,
it's, you know, it's got a little bit of San Francisco flavor to it.
Yeah, I guess it does at that. Well, Abe, it's been a great education as always. Once again, we want to thank you for being a part of our echelon here, the American Adversaries higher ranking officials. And you always do a great job in informing us on what's going on over there and great political analysis on what's going on over here, too.
Well, thank you. It's always my pleasure to be on the show.
All right. Well, have a great night over there. And by the way, what's the weather like? As hot as the Dickens here. I guess we got your heat wave from last week. You still going through it?
Yeah. No. It's hot and sunny during the day, but it cools down at night. It's been pretty nice.
All right. Well, that's good. Enjoy it. And take care of yourself till we talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you so very much. Once again, folks, that is Abe Katzman. You can find his work at abekatzman.com. And I'm so proud that Abe is a part of our show. Nowhere else can you get what we get every week here from Abe Katzman. Okay, when we come back, we'll have Wallace Brushweiler. Don't forget, he and Carl Jackson will be speaking tomorrow night at the Eastmont Civic Center. The doors open at 6:30. It's free. You are welcome to come on down and check them out. And if you haven't met Carl, I'm sure you would love to meet Carl. He's just a really great guy. All right, when we come back, Wallace Brushweiler and you, if you want to give us a call, 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget, we would like to have you as a part of the American Adversaries Army. All you have to do is go to our webpage, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, go to the recruiting office and sign up right there. It's that easy. We will be right back. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the good, the bad, and me. So welcome back to the show. 407-774-8255 is the number. Wallace will be joining us here momentarily. But once again, I want to thank Jerry Shepherd of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service. Jerry's got a great operation. He's located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. If you have a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry and Jana Shepherd. They will take great care of your car, and they'll take care of you while your car is getting taken care of. And if you want to find out more about them, you can go to jerrysmb.com. That's jerrysmb.com. Or you can give Jerry a call at 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB Service, that's Mercedes-Benz, is the dealership alternative. They will give you professional care with the finest of equipment and a fine, great shop that you can eat off the floor of, and they will do it at the best price. They will beat that dealer price every time. So if you got a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry Shepherd of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service. And Jerry was on the show a couple of weeks ago. Look forward to having him back in the future. He'll be there next week when I hope you will join us at Cafe Positano. That's 1 week from tonight, folks. The clock is ticking down, and the reservation book is filling up. So if you want to make a reservation, you don't have to. But if you'd like to, call Cafe Positano at 407-774-8080. Because 1 week from tonight, we'll be over there doing a live remote broadcast at Cafe Positano. We'll be doing our 5 to 7 o'clock show, and the Shriners will be there, and the fun will be going on for quite a while after that. Dan Peterson is going to be there singing and playing the guitar, and John Ray, one of our listeners, is going to be there as a caricature artist. He is a caricature artist, so come on out and get your caricature done. It's going to be a lot of fun. And if you are a member of the American Adversaries Army, you will be receiving an American Adversaries t-shirt. That's right, just special for you. So if you haven't joined the American Adversaries Army, you still have time to do that and get on out there next week and get a free t-shirt as part of the package. Once again, you can just go to our webpage, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and go to the recruiting office, and you can either sign up right there on the line, or you can do it snail mail. We'll take it either way. Anyway, we love to see you out there. Whether you're a member of the Army or not, come on out and join us 1 week from tonight at Cafe Positano. And then, don't forget, tomorrow night at the Eastmont Civic Center, once again, that's located here in Altamont Springs, just east of the Altamont Mall, just south of 436 off Ronald Reagan Boulevard. I mean, just off Ronald Reagan Boulevard. Just go south there about a half a mile, and you'll see the ball fields on the right, and you're there. And it is free. The doors open at 6:30. The presentations start at 7. It's being brought to you by the Greater Orlando Citizen Action Network, and formerly the Greater Orlando Tea Party. Greater Orlando Citizen Action Network brings you great guest speakers every month. And and of course, take advantage of that tomorrow night. Wallace Brushweiler is an expert on Middle East history, in particular Muslim history, and the wars that have been fought throughout history in the name of Islam. And he's very knowledgeable about what's going on over there right now. And we're trying to get him on the line. As soon as we do, we'll get him up and running here. And we're going to keep him over into the next hour. So just stay with us. And as this hour I see is closing out, we will, we will get him as we go into the next hour. Don't forget, we will be here until 7 o'clock. The Rays pregame show is going to begin at 6:30, however, tonight. But that doesn't mean you can't listen to us right up to 7 o'clock, because we'll be here on AM660TheAnswer.com always, whenever we're not on the airwaves. And don't forget, if you just want to listen later on to this show or any of our shows, you can go to our archive at our webpage and listen to them there. Or you can subscribe on iTunes, and as soon as we load them into the archive, you'll get a nice, cool alert so that you'll know that the new shows are up there. If you didn't catch last night's show, I wish you would go to the archive and listen to it. We had a rousing discussion about the strategy of Hillary Clinton. We had a discussion about the trade deal and what that means for this president, and why we shouldn't be so down in the dumps like Paul Ryan is over the deal going down so far. All right, I see I have Wallace on the line. We got a few minutes left in this segment, so let's go right to Wallace Brushweiler. Wallace, thanks for being on the show with us tonight.
My pleasure.
And you'll be in Altamont Springs tomorrow night in person, I take it.
Yes. Unfortunately for the audience, they will have to stay about an hour and listen to what little I have to say.
Oh, I don't put it that way, because it's going to be quite an education. We don't really have time to get into it much right now. Just to give our audience a little taste of where your expertise comes from.
My expertise, if you can call that as an expertise, I was at the wrong time in the wrong places, or at the right time in the right places. I'm a quadrilinguist, and I have spent 30 years in Europe, Middle East, and Africa, and during the time, the high time of terrorism in Europe. Red Brigades, Baader-Meinhof Group, ETA, and so on and so forth. And then the beginning with Amal, which now turned into Hezbollah, the Palestinian, PFLP, George Abbas, the hijacking of the planes, the Achille Lauro, and so on and so forth.
So you've seen this beast up close for quite a long time.
Yes, sir. And I was fortunate because I speak the languages. The only one I don't speak in that area was Arabic, but I got by with French in Lebanon, as I dealt with the Christian Maronites. They are all speaking French in Egypt as well. Educated people at that time, and I think still is, have language, the French as a diplomatic language, so therefore there was no problem. Libya, I speak Italian fluently. Algeria and Morocco, same thing. Mali, Cameroon.
So certainly being able to speak the languages of the region, it gives you a better feel, a better flavor of the culture of the area.
And you understand things, in my opinion, that's my personal opinion, you understand much better things, because even the small nuances, facial expressions and
body language.
The body language is in my opinion, part of the game.
Okay. All right. Now that we've got the foundation laid, we'll take the break. Wallace, if you'll stay with us through the break, we'll pick you up on the other side, and we'll talk about history repeating itself, if you will, in the Middle East. We'll talk about the Arab Spring. We'll talk about something going over here at Port Canaveral. And that. And so Wallace will stay with us, and you can join us as well. We'll be right back. You are listening to the American Adversaries Primetime Drive Time Show on AM 660, The Answer. Show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries singing along with Steve Tyler and Ara Smith there. Yeah, that's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show live on AM 660. The Answer, as we come to you from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please do not forget, for the very best in health-centered dentistry and mercury-free dentistry, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. Christopher Hart here. Nick LeCicero's on the bridge. Lucas Paris has us up on the Periscope.
Hey,
so
hey.
You can go to our channel on YouTube, American Adversaries TV, and you'll be able to see what we're up to here in the studio. Got Wallace Brushweiler on the line. Wallace, along with Carl Jackson, will be the featured speakers tomorrow night at the Eastmont Civic Center. The doors open at 6:30. It's free, so you can head on over there. The presentations start at 7. It's being sponsored by the Greater Orlando Citizen Action Network. We're talking with Wallace now. If you didn't hear it, and if you're just joining us, Wallace is an expert on the Middle East. He's a linguist. He's spent a lot of time in the Middle East. He's seen these terrorist groups from the early, what we would consider early stages, the modern era, if you will. Wallace, I want to start with something a little bit closer to home, though, because one of the things I think you're going to be talking about is going on right over here on our East Coast at Port Canaveral. Can you tell us about the group that is now running Port Canaveral?
It's a group headquartered in the Middle East, was involved, at least as far as we could ascertain, was involved in shipping weapons to Hamas. There was fortunately intercepted by IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, in open international waters in the Red Sea, and they just brought one of the ships in, and they showed to the world what Iran was supplying or trying to supply to Hamas in Gaza.
So you're saying the agency, that the corporation is what it is, I believe, that is running Port Canaveral, was involved in arms shipments to Hamas?
Yes. Now, you have to understand, there is an agreement which was signed, last year in June last year, 2014, and signed. It's a lease agreement for 35 years. And that is what, unfortunately, from existing laws, does not require a security screening.
Does not require security screening?
No, because it's a lease agreement. It's not a sale. I mean, it's not an outright sale.
Why do you think that this? I remember this going into effect last year, and it got a little bit of play in the media, but not very much.
No, it didn't. Absolutely. I mean,
why not? I mean, because when
high powers. The media is unfortunately in the hands of the left, at least the majority.
Right.
And
do you think that it had something to do with the fact that when this was attempted before, I believe George W. Bush was president, and it was turned down. In other words, it was turned back because it made a play in the media. I remember Sean Hannity making a big deal out of it, as well as other talk show hosts, and Congress stepped up and said, oh, no, you don't. But this time, do you think because we have a Democrat and Barack Obama in particular as a president, that something was different?
You asked the question, and the answer is straight yes. Now, you have to understand that during the Bush case, it was, if I remember correctly, it was an outright sale.
Yes, I believe so.
And you say a sale requires a security screening. This time, and there the Clinton Foundation has its hands in, and they are very clever from that point of view. They have very good legal advice, and they use it. And so they played it safe from that point of view, that it did not require. And this is why I think, to answer your original question, this is why it went very softly and practically no big coverage in the media, be it the written media or the television, nothing. And you see, you have to understand, at least the way I see it, when and if the media becomes too inquisitive, there are people who will contact that entity and tell them that they should slow down and forget the whole thing. And that even if need to be by changing dollar figures from one account to the other, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I do see what you mean.
You see, you have to understand, I personally see that the entire case was handled by the and had the hand of the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation.
On this Port Canaveral deal?
Yes, sir.
The Clinton Foundation.
At least it has a part, minor or major, I don't know yet.
Well, certainly, it sounds like something right out of their playbook.
Oh, that is, that's part of their playbook.
Yeah, but should this cause us real concern? I mean...
there are two ways to see it.
Okay.
You understand, whatever containers come into any harbor in the United States, is the responsibility of the Department of Homeland Security.
Right.
So, unfortunately, unfortunately, that is, on one side, that is the law and the rule. But in praxis, what I heard, and I haven't been able to confirm that, I'm really surprised, only 4% of the containers are really screened. So this, in my opinion, would create a big problem.
Especially if the perpetrators, if you will, are the port, operators themselves, because at some point they would be aware of which 4%, or at least the pattern of the Homeland Security and how they go about their business.
Definitely, that you're totally. That's 100%. You're right. No, that's the problem. And I think that, in my opinion, right now the thing which should happen, and I'm only hoping that it will happen, is that the DOD, because of the installations right next to the port, is everything. There's a nuclear submarine.
Yeah, it's a sub-base over there, yeah.
There's everything. There's NASA, NSA, everybody's there. So I think that the only way that we would change the entire outcome would be that the military and the intelligence community wakes up and does what it's supposed to do.
Well, that's probably, we're going to probably have to wait about another year and a half, unfortunately, for that to happen, Wallace.
Look.
You know what I'm talking about.
Took that out of my mouth.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk for a few minutes about the Middle East. Why you've been watching that situation over there for decades.
Yeah.
Why do you think that the Arab Spring suddenly sprung up a couple
of
years ago?
Arab Spring, I don't want to come and give out all the goodies which will be covered tomorrow. But basically, the Arab Spring was decided by our administration. They wanted to change all the regimes in North Africa, which were strong men like Gaddafi and Mubarak,
sure,
basically, and replaced them with the excuse was democracy, which is a complete fallacy.
Right.
You have to understand, the Arabs do not understand our concept of democracy. They are used for hundreds and thousands of years to the tribal system. And the tribal system has nothing to do with democracy. It's the strong man takes over and you pledge alliance to that strong man, period. Just as an example, Libya, for example, basically was and still is three or four major tribes. And Gaddafi and the king before, King Idris, had a strong hand, and the other three tribes just submitted and pledged alliance. As an example, today we're the big thing is Iraq. Iraq is composed of 47 different tribes, and they come in and tell them that we want to install democracy. They look at you and they say, "Look, you don't understand where you are." It's Disneyland for them.
It's
absolutely. You see, the problem with the entire Middle East was dating back at the collapse of, or let's say, the victory over the Ottoman Empire, and the Ottoman Empire then was by some I call them wise idiots in Paris and London decided to divide the Middle East and do artificial border lines. If there is no country in the world that has straight lines as a border. And if you look at the map in the Middle East, they're practically all straight lines.
Right, and of course they didn't.
Therefore, you, for example, you take the Kurds. The Kurds deserve a country on their own. The Kurds are in Iraq, in Syria, and in Turkey.
Turkey, right. Yeah.
And, okay, and you can't divide that. And you can't tell them, look, you have to obey. They say, no, we're not obeying. We are independent. We are, it's a race on our own. Take another smaller example, the Druze.
Yeah.
Druze are in Israel and in Syria and in Lebanon.
Yeah.
And they're completely, they don't understand what's going on from that point of view. You can't do that.
All right. Al has a question for you. Then I have another question or two before we run out of time here.
No problem.
Okay. Al, thank you for calling. Your question for Wallace, please.
Yes. My question is the port deal. Did Obama use executive order powers to make that deal go through?
Wallace, did President Obama have any direct hand in this deal going through that you know of?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised, but you have to understand, today's administration we have is a very strange animal, as I say it. I have a tendency to think that there is a puppet master on top of everybody in our administration, and it's Valerie Jarrett. And Valerie Jarrett controls Obama, controlled Hillary, and controlled now the gentleman I call it that way, John Ketchup Kerry.
Why didn't Republicans stop it?
That's a good question also. Thank you, Al. I appreciate it. I got to let you go because I'm running out of time. But why didn't Republicans step in and do something about this? They just weren't aware of what was going on, Wallace?
I think they weren't aware.
They just didn't know what was going on.
It went totally under the radar.
I know. The first I heard about it was already a done deal.
Yep.
Basically, the news report came across, that it was announcing that it already
was announced by the time two executives of the Middle Eastern company were on a flight and landing in the United States to sign the deal.
Yeah. One last question on the Middle East before I have to let you go. And don't forget, folks, you can catch Wallace up close and live tomorrow night at the Eastmont Civic Center along with Carl Jackson. Do you think that going back to what we were talking about with the Arab Spring, do you think that what's going on now will result in more natural borders, or do you think that this is going to result in, once again, the West having to come in and sort of redraw borders?
No, listen, here we have to look. The Arab Spring materialized only in North Africa. The countries involved were Tunisia,
Libya,
and Egypt. To a certain extent, Algeria, but Algeria clamped down, and that was it. Morocco untouched because the king knows how to handle those little problems. So therefore, and the rest of the Middle East is totally the political economic map will be completely redrawn, but redrawn not by us, but by people on the ground. For example, just to tell you, the alliances now are unheard of 5 years ago. For example, Israel is befriended with Saudi Arabia. For example, just to give you an example, Israel offered to sell Saudi Arabia the Iron Dome system. Done deal. Finish. The intelligence organization of Israel, Mossad, and Saudis have been meeting for, I would reckon, about the last 5 years in Geneva, in Vienna, in London. It's the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
So that's what we see at work.
Yes, you will have a complete a reshuffle. You will have, on one side, you will have Saudis. You will have the Shiite, the Sunnis on one side.
The
problem Saudi Arabia has, and that is, it's not very well understood. The king's family and his entourage are Sunnis, but the majority of the population are Shiites.
Right.
This is why they are afraid of Iran, because Iran is, controlling practically the Shiite population.
Right.
And so, therefore, this is where the problem is. And years ago, the Saudis made an agreement with the Pakistani that in case Iran turns nuclear, that Saudi Arabia will have access to Pakistani nuclear weapons.
One last question. Do you think that the United States should play a much larger role or just get out of the way and let nature take its course?
No. They should take, I would even say it should take a leading role, but not with the people on the field right now. Those people have absolutely no understanding of the Middle East, none whatsoever. They're totally not capable of, and they are not taking the people.
You're talking about this administration?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Wallace, I'm sorry, we're going to have to leave it there, but obviously it's going to be a great lecture tomorrow night, and I suggest that people, if they really want to be educated about this stuff, to get over there and hear you speak and meet you up close.
I hope that you will be there.
Yeah, I'm going to make every effort to be there because it's right up the street. As soon as the show's over, I'm going to shoot down there.
Okay.
All right.
It'd be my pleasure to shake your hand.
Mine as well, to shake yours, Wallace. I appreciate it. Thanks for being on the show tonight. It's fascinating stuff. We'll have to have you back one way or the other on the American Adversary Show.
You have my phone number. You know how to get in touch with me.
All right. You take care of yourself.
Take care.
Travel safely. We'll see you tomorrow night. We hope to see you folks there as well. Please don't go away because we are not finished with tonight yet. Back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show taking you straight up to 7 o'clock. Now, the Rays pregame show is going to start here momentarily. Hopefully, they'll continue their winning ways. They are now in first place. Can you believe it? But we will be here on AM660TheAnswer.com, or hopefully you've downloaded into your smart device the free AM660 The Answer app so that you can listen to us no matter where you are. As a matter of fact, anywhere on this here planet, I guess even in outer space, if you were up there in that space station, you can hear us up there.
YouTube up there.
Yeah, YouTube. You can see us on YouTube, too. Just go to American Adversaries TV on YouTube, and you'll see what we're doing here, how we do it in the studio. This segment of the show has been brought to you by the Keeler Group. Of course, Rob Keeler, another great new sponsor of our show. We really appreciate him being a sponsor of our show. Anytime you need something having to do with real estate, go to the Keeler Group, whether it's investment property, you want to flip something, or you want to buy a home, or a commercial property. The Keeler Group will help you out. 321-277-2192 is the phone number. That's Rob Keeler and the Keeler Group. Great folks. And he'll be on our show the 26th, and we'll be able to have him meet you sort of in person, if you will. Once again, don't forget to catch Wallace. Fascinating stuff. And Carl Jackson, he's always got some fascinating stuff to talk about. They'll both be there tomorrow night. I'll go there after the show. Over there at the Eastmont Civic Center, once again, it's just off 436 south on Ronald Reagan Boulevard. Just look for the ball fields, and they'll be all lit up. It will still be light out because the doors open at 6:30. It's free, and it's being brought to you by the Greater Orlando Citizen Action Network. Great folks over there, great speakers. Month in and month out, week in and week out, for that matter. Please don't forget, now we've got a lot of great stuff going on. We got this remote broadcast coming up a week from tonight. We also have our Come Sail Away With Me cruise. We're booking rooms. If you'd like to reserve a room, it just takes a $100 deposit. And the earlier you do it, the better choice you'll have for these cabins. So if you'd like to go on that cruise with us, you can go to vacationtravelplanners.com. That's vacationtravelplanners.com. Pick out your cabin while you have the choice. 321-251-4777 is Mara Lee's phone number if you want to call and talk to her over the phone. She'll be happy to help you out. 321-251-4777. The cruise departs from Port Canaveral, of all places, right?
Nice.
On November the 13th, and hopefully the port will still be there when we get back on the 17th, I believe it is. 3-night cruise around the Caribbean, or Caribbean for some of you folks out there. It's going to be a lot of fun. And if you're a member of the American Adversaries Army, you will automatically be entered into a drawing where you may be able to travel free. So join up and join us on our Come Sail Away With Me cruise, departing November 13th, vacationtravelplanners.com. Make your deposit now. Get the best choice of the cabin while they last. And by the way, the retail price of those cabins now is higher than what you'll pay as part of our deal. So don't miss it. We'll be right back.
AM 660.
Hello, this is Buck Mill, former WCW World.
television champion, Johnny B. Bad. It's a good day to be a bad man, but it's even a better day to listen to the American adversaries. You better listen. Don't let me come and get you, because it's going to be a blessing to teach you a lesson.
I love that, Mark Merrill, Johnny B. Bad. Welcome back to the show, folks. I love doing this show, and I love having you folks out there listen to me. We really appreciate it. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. Lucas Paris has the Periscope up and running. Hey. 407-774-8255 is the number. And let's have a little fun this half hour, especially for you folks who are out there who have gone to the links of either listening to us on the internet or have downloaded the app and are listening on your smart devices. Let's have a little fun. Something happened 800 years ago today. If you can call us and tell us at 407-774-8255 what happened 800 years ago today, you will win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, and I'll throw in a My Liberty Thread t-shirt, just like we do on our Who Said That contests on Sunday nights. Of course, these My Liberty Threads t-shirts, these are going to be the same quality t-shirts, same t-shirts, but with our logo on it that we'll have at the party on the 22nd. But this will be a My Liberty Threads t-shirt with one of their great, cool, patriotic sayings on there. If you can call and tell us what happened 800 years ago today. All right? So let's somebody out there win that prize. Give us a call. 407-774-8255 is the number. And I'll make it. We'll do it just like we do on Sunday night. If you call the first caller that at least takes a shot at it, if nobody gets it right, you will be declared the winner. So it doesn't hurt just to call and say any old thing, because if no one gets it right, you may end up being the winner. So just give me a call and try to tell me what happened, or if you may know, you may know right off the bat, what happened 800 years ago today. If you think you know, call us at 407-774-8255. You'll win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano and a My Liberty Threads t-shirt. And nobody's calling yet? Okay. All right. Give it a shot. Give it a shot. Like I said, if nobody gets it right, the first one to at least take a chance will be declared the winner. Something happened 800 years ago today. And if it hadn't happened, well, there might not have been a United States of America. Who knows? All right. In the meantime, while we wait for someone to call and try that out, there's a new Rasmussen poll out, and it says that people who live in neighborhoods where they think other people live in that neighborhood and have guns actually feel safer.
Really?
Than people who would rather live in a neighborhood that doesn't have guns. And let me put it this way. In a new poll just released on the 12th, 68% of Americans, there's 977 people were polled between on the June the 8th and 9th. Now, of this 977 people, 68% said that they would feel safer if they knew they lived in a neighborhood or were in an area where people, good guys, had guns. In other words, people with gun permits, they had no problem with living in neighborhoods with people with guns. 22% said that they would feel uncomfortable living in those same circumstances, and 10% said that they didn't know. And so that means that 32% of the people have their heads in the sand or somewhere else, because it takes a good guy with a gun to stop a bad guy with a gun. And even though the media doesn't play these stories out, we see these stories coming through here all the time where some guy or some gal occasionally even has whipped out a piece and took care of business and either saved themselves from bodily harm or saved other people and or property from harm. So, you know, people with sense know that people who are good people and know how to use weapons, you definitely want them around, especially in this day and age. I mean, for heaven's sake. But it was interesting to see that this Rasmussen poll came out on the heels of a Johns Hopkins study, which says that Connecticut, when they passed their anti-gun legislation here recently, that it has contributed to a significant drop in violent crime in Connecticut. Of course, they failed to mention that most people in Connecticut are leaving because the taxes are so high there and taking the criminals out of the state with them. So if there's a lot less people in Connecticut, then there will be a lot less crime in Connecticut.
Even crime will leave if there's no money. I mean,
yeah. I'm telling you what, it's loony, but... anyway, that's the news on the gun front. Also, did you hear about this? And we talked about this a little bit on the show last night. I was calling the story, you know, have you seen, there's this TV show out called Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm.
And then last,
Netflix exclusive.
Right. Last week I was teasing around with Abe because of the boycotts against Israel and a company called Orange. I believe a French telephone company was boycotting, pulling their operations out of Israel. So I said, Orange is the new black list. Well, now
yep.
White, last night we were talking about white being the new black. Have you heard about this woman, the head of the NAACP and their Spokane, Washington office? Her name, Rachel Dolezal. Who was passing herself off as black, but she had two white parents. Oh, anyway, all right, we'll get back to that in a second, but I see we have Kelly on the line. Kelly, thanks for being out there. Thanks for listening. How are you listening to us right now, by the way?
I am actually listening on iHeartRadio.
Oh, good for you. Hey, good for you.
Is there a Rays game on today?
Yes, it's the pregame started just a few minutes ago at 6:30.
Oh, okay. I always tune in online or I go to the 660 app on my phone.
Okay, well, that's good. I wanted to know that, you know, because a lot of our listeners do. They don't listen to us over the airwaves. They listen to us either on the internet or on their phone or the smart device. So what happened 800 years ago today?
The Magna Carta was signed.
What? Go ahead.
Yes. Well, by King, I don't know.
Well, you would have got extra credit had you known it was King John.
And King John, that's right. He signed the Magna Carta.
Where? Okay. Where? Do you know where?
In England. England.
Okay. Well, what was the name of the town, the city?
Oh. Tarta? No. No.
Runnymede. Runnymede, I think is how you pronounce it. Runnymede.
Oh, I definitely didn't know that.
Okay. Well, you got the rest of it right. Congratulations.
Thanks, Nick. I was going to ring the bell, but I couldn't find it.
It's right over here. Here. When it comes to Kelly...
That was easy.
That's great. Hey, Kelly, are we going to see you over at Cafe Positano Monday?
I'm going to try to get there. What time are you guys? It's Monday the 22nd.
1 week from tonight. The show will start at 5. We'll do the show live 5 to 7. But the festivities will be going on probably from 4 o'clock at least till dark. So you have plenty of time to come over there.
Sounds good.
All right. But in the meantime, stay on the line so Nick can get your information. And don't forget to give him your shirt size so that we get you the right size, okay?
Thank you. And I love your show, guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Kelly. Have you been to Cafe Positano?
Yes, I did one time, and I loved it.
Well, great. Now you're going to go back, and you'll have a $20 gift card.
And I love it.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, and I thank you for listening. We appreciate you being out there. That's right. 800 years ago today, the Magna Carta was made official by King John.
Document.
Yeah, and it was basically his admission that he wasn't the end all when it comes to making the law, that he could not make law just willy-nilly. So it was the beginning of the move towards constitutional form of government. And without the Magna Carta, who knows, we may never have had Constitution or Declaration of Independence, but it was the movement away from originally, you know, like with the pharaohs, they were seen to be gods on this planet, and then of course, you know, through the Dark Ages, you know, the
divine right of rule,
exactly,
mandate of heaven in China.
Yep, and this was the beginning of the end of all of that. Mm-hmm. So, congratulations once again to Kelly. All right, we'll have to do that again. That was a lot of fun. But to get back to this woman, Rachel Dolezal, she was supposed to speak tonight at a meeting. I guess it was a regularly scheduled meeting of the NAACP there in Spokane. But this morning she decided to resign rather than face the humiliating task of trying to explain herself and why she would want to pass herself off as being black, other than I guess she thought it was cool or that's what she had to do to be accepted into the NAACP. And if that is the case, that's a sad testament for the NAACP. Now, I was under the impression that they have had leaders who have been white. I may be wrong about that, but to me, it's a symptom, though, of something of an even bigger problem. And I talked about this a little bit last night in regards to Jenner, and I've decided that I'm going to call this person Jenner because I'm not comfortable with calling him Bruce. And I'm not comfortable with calling her Caitlin, okay, because he's kind of somewhere in between. He ain't really not Bruce anymore, and he ain't really all the way at Caitlin yet.
You're taking a middle ground on it.
Yeah,
which...
yeah, he's Caitlin from the waist up, from the waist down. He's still Bruce, folks, okay? So I'm going to call him Jenner. This person is Jenner. But what Jenner is doing is turning his whole, Jenner's whole experience into a freak show. Yes. Freak show. I said it last night. I'll say it again. I'll say it again and again. This is right out of Ripley's Believe It or Not or P.T. Barnum, the bearded lady or whatever, where you go to the carnival and you look at the freak. He has made himself into a freak show by selling his story for $5 million so people can watch him put on lipstick and fingernail polish. This is a freak show. Our whole doggone nation is turning into a freak show. Rachel Dolezal was part of the freak show. A white woman, ashamed evidently of being a white woman, or feeling though as she had to be a black woman in order to be a part of the NAACP. That is freakish. That is not normal behavior. It is a freak show that we are turning our doggone nation into. And we will suffer the ramifications of it. This is not to say Bruce Jenner could do whatever he wants with his body. It's his body. Yeah, I'm the libertarian when it comes to all that, right? But to make a spectacle out of it and to make it seemingly an appealing lifestyle for any old body who wants to try it out is absurd and is a detriment to the cultural mores which keep the whole thing stuck together. I mean, you go start pulling all the strings to the cultural mores, all of a sudden you ain't got any anymore. And then anything goes. Anything goes, right? If it's my happiness to have a harem, why should polygamy be out the door anymore, right? Or if I want to, along with five other men, live with one woman, why shouldn't she be allowed to have some sort of harem? Wouldn't want to do it in my particular case, but maybe there's somebody out there who does. And just pretty much any circumstance that you can think of, if somebody's going to come up and say, wow, this is how I'm going to fulfill my destiny in life or my goal in life or my dream in life. Well, that's fine. But don't go selling it off as some sort of pseudo-entertainment reality show. It's a freak show. That's all it is. Anybody wants to see that will be the same people who would plop down $5 or whatever it would take to see the bearded lady. Or to see the two-headed man or whatever. It's a freak show. We are acting like freaks. And I'm not talking about freaks like hippie freaks, right? I'm talking about freaks like nuts. And as long as we're glorifying being a freak, you're going to get more in a variety of cases of it. And it might be funny, it might be entertaining, but it's going to nonetheless be detrimental to the culture as a whole.
When you turn your lifestyle into a spectacle, you've taken really a lot of the meaning out of what your lifestyle should mean to you.
You're selling it. That's right. That's right. You're making it a freak show in this case. And it's nothing more nor less than that. All right. Having said all that, I see we're now up against the break, so we'll go ahead and take the break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this hour of the show, and hope you're enjoying it. And once again, if you're out there, you want to be a part of the show, don't wait. Call now, 407-774-8255. Welcome back to the show. Pretty cool bump music there. Thank you, Nick. That's Nick LoCicero on the bridge. Don't forget, he does a great show every Thursday night, WDW News, and it's live at 8 o'clock on our sister station, 1520 WBZW. Lucas Paris has us up on the Periscope.
Hey, hey.
And that means you can go to YouTube at your convenience and see the show. And that is the YouTube channel, American Adversaries TV. And Lucas does a great job. We appreciate him.
Seven posts up.
That's right. All right. Okay, so as I said, we're about to wrap up today's show. But once again, want to encourage you to go to the Eastmont Civic Center tomorrow night. Hopefully I'll see you there as we listen to Wallace Brushweiler and Carl Jackson. They are the featured speakers. It is free, sponsored by the Greater Orlando Citizen Action Network. And so once again, please do come on over there and join us for that. Also, this is the time of year, especially days like today, where if you're out in the sun, you can get blistered right quick. And if you do get a sunburn, or if you get a bug bite, or just cut yourself or anything like that, you need to have some Roxy Pacifics. It's great stuff, folks. I was out pulling weeds yesterday, and I don't know, an ant or something bit me like on the shoulder, and I went in and rinsed it off and dried it and sprayed some Roxy on it, and the sting went right away. I'm way away. It's gone. It never came back. And that's because this stuff really does work. It's all natural. It's kelp-based. Got a lot of B vitamins in it and a lot of great other stuff. You can find out exactly all about it and what's in it and see some great testimonials at skinfix.us. So if you need something to fix your skin, you will go to skinfix.us. And they're always running specials. Buy one, get a smaller bottle free, or free shipping, or you name it. They're always running something going on over there. So go to skinfix.us. If you get that sunburn, you're going to want to have had some Roxy Pacifics. And you can get it in a bottle you can carry with you, and you can get a larger bottle you can keep at home. And that's what I do, and I use that stuff every day. Okay, and it's only because it does work. All right. Speaking of working, Jeb Bush was working the crowd this afternoon, so to speak. He had a raucous crowd, and like Abe Katzman said, I thought he gave the best speech I think I've ever seen him give.
He's in the big leagues now. That's why.
Yeah, he is. He is, and he is going to be a player. He's going to be, regardless of the polls, folks, and we mentioned this last week when Mike was on the show, and Mike will be back in tomorrow night, Mike McBath, the chairman of the BOED, but we mentioned that I had seen where there's an agency that tracks the booking agents around the world, mainly in London and Las Vegas, as they track the odds for the presidential candidates. And right now, Jeb Bush is the odds-on favorite to win the Republican nomination, pretty handily ahead. 36% of those polled, voting with their money, so to speak, by betting, are betting on Jeb Bush. About 26% are betting on Marco, and about the same amount betting on Scott Walker. But they don't have the resources that Jeb Bush has. Jeb Bush has got deep pockets. I mean, he's got lots of money. And the smart thing that he did, and we talked about this way back when he first did this, and then I even gave you the lawyer's name who came up with this strategy. This whole strategy of him not officially running until today was so that he could raise a bunch of money that he can now go back to those same people and raise a bunch of more money, because none of that money counted toward his official campaign. He's raised over $100 million, we reported on the show last night. That's more than all of the other contenders combined, with the exception of Hillary Clinton. And that means all the Republicans and Democrats, with the exception of Hillary Clinton. And we don't know what she's raised yet. Maybe even include her. So he has raised money like you wouldn't believe, and he's fixing to raise it again. So he will have the money, and he will have that support that will last him right through the primary season. And so that's going to make him by far the man to beat. And whether the polls show it or not, he is the front runner. And the betting lines definitely show it. Hillary Clinton, by the way, is the odds-on favorite to beat Jeb Bush should they end up in a head-to-head battle.
We have our main event, right?
That's right. So, all that shall remain to be seen. Now, on the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton gave, as Abe said, she just cannot deliver a speech. I mean, that's going to be a real problem for her. That aside, there is a new candidate, and we've kind of dropped his name a time or two in the past, but he's now seeming to get more and more serious about it. He's not declared yet, but he's going through the motions. He's visiting Iowa, beginning to put together some sort of organization. A fellow by the name of Jim Webb, former senator from Kentucky, I believe, and a Democrat, and he obviously he's a Gulf War vet. I believe a Navy veteran. He's a no-nonsense type guy. He's what I call a Kennedy Democrat. How far a Kennedy Democrat can get in this this party at this time, where they're all rushing to get further and further to the left, I don't know. But he would be a decent candidate, I think. I mean, other than the fact that on many social programs he's pretty liberal, but when it comes to the defense of the nation, he's pretty much a hawk. And as I said, he's a Kennedy Democrat, so he's not beyond perhaps lowering taxes or doing something like that. But like I said, that's going to be a hard sell in today's Democratic Party.
Agreed.
Especially when Bernie Sanders is pulling 36% in New Hampshire. Going the other direction may not get you very far. But nonetheless, it's going to be very interesting over the next year and a half or so leading up to the November elections in 2016. But Jeb today at least looked like a candidate, sounded like a candidate, had the feel of a candidate, which up until now he has not. Perhaps that was part of the whole, charade, so to speak, of not being an official candidate.
Right.
So he can raise that $100 million so he can go back to those same people and get another $100 million.
He was biding time.
Yeah, he was biding time, and maybe he was just playing his cards close to his vest. But if he keeps making rousing speeches like that, if he can muster up rousing crowds like that, it will make it much more exciting for people to vote for him. He will no longer be, as I called him last night, the aw shucks candidate. He will be a real deal candidate. Nonetheless, like I say, he's a player, and he'll be in it till the end. And we intend to be right there all along the way. We intend to be players, too. Whatever happened to Teddy Long, by the way?
Teddy Long? Theodore Long?
Theodore Long. I miss him.
I miss him, too. But, he's gone. He was one of the people that got cut from WWE.
Yeah.
Late last year, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I was hoping they'd bring him back. Yeah, we're talking some WWE business there.
I miss the Mac Militant. He was amazing.
Yeah, wasn't he, though? Wasn't he? Okay, that's just about going to wrap it up for tonight, folks. But once again, don't forget, come out and join us 1 week from tonight at Cafe Positano. The fun's going to start, about 4 o'clock or so. The show will be live from 5 to 7, and then the fun's going to go on right up at least till dark. Dan Peterson will be there singing and playing his guitar, and who knows, might be singing along with him. We all might be singing along with him. Who knows? Depends on how good we're feeling that night, right? Right, Lucas?
Sure.
Depends on if the lemon juice is flowing that night.
The right amount of joy in me, I'll sing anything, okay?
Get your caricature drawn, and we're going to have some door prizes, a raffle, and it's just going to be a lot of fun with the Shriners out there. So certainly hope you folks can come out and join us. Okay. And please, don't forget, join the American Adversaries Army, and I'll have a brand new American Adversaries t-shirt waiting for you there. And it's real easy to do. Just go to our webpage, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and find your way to the recruiting office, and you can sign up there either online or in the mail. It'll be a lot of fun. Don't forget the Come Sail Away With Me cruise. All right, the cabins are we're starting to take deposits. The cabins are booking up. So if you want to choose the cabin you want to be in, the sooner you go to vacationtravelplanners.com, the better. That's vacationtravelplanners.com. Just put your deposit down today. $100 will hold that cabin for you. And we'll hopefully be sailing with you on November 13th from Port Canaveral. And it's going to be a three-night Caribbean cruise. Be a lot of fun. Hope you're with us. All right, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. So for Lucas Paris and Nick LoCicero, I'm Christopher Hart. And night, everybody.
Night.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando, a service of Salem Communications.